back, it seems like a lot of years ago, in 1999, doesn't that seem like an eternity ago? But back in 1999, the Guinness Book of World Records credits an Indonesian man named Bungkus with setting a world record. Maybe you remember this, I'm not sure, but he set the record for the longest time living in a tree. Can you imagine living in a tree for an extended period of time? But back in 1970, Bungkus climbs this tree in his hometown in Bungkus. He built a human-sized nest and settled in and refused to come down. This is not actually a picture of him. I tried to find one, but I couldn't find it. But someone else decided to live in a tree as well. But many, actually, they tried to persuade this guy to come down, family and friends, but he wouldn't do it. According to the 2001 edition of the Guinness Book of World Records, he was still up in that tree. I don't know if he still is there. I tried to find out. I did my own research, but there's no record of him actually coming down from the tree. I suppose he wasn't doing any harm, but yet he wasn't doing any good either, was he? But yet, followers of Jesus were never meant to withdraw from the world. How many times are we like that man living in a tree? We were never meant to stay up in our trees to keep Jesus to ourselves. But isn't that what we do at times? We may not be physically living in a tree, but we're living there just the same. God didn't design us to live, to make our homes in a tree. We have our marching orders to go make disciples. Matthew 28, as we know, as the Great Commission, right? But yet, we love our trees, don't we? We've decorated them. We've enhanced them in the tree. We have a bird's eye view of the world. We see the problems, but we don't have to get involved in the mess, right? It's safe in our trees. It's comfortable in our trees. Climbing down means losing that safe distance. It means stepping into the messes of people's lives and getting our hands dirty. It means being vulnerable. Today we're looking at the go-to text, the core to really who we are as the church today and our life together. As I mentioned a moment ago, it's called the Great Commission. It really asks and answers that question, what on earth are we here for? Why are we here as the church today? But yet, how quick we forget to make disciples. And we find ourselves in a tree. Today's challenge, the challenge of the sermon today is a challenge to climb down, to renew our mission. And after all, God is in the business of new things, new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. As you have this picture with Ezekiel and the dry bones coming to life, that's us, isn't it, as the church today. Renewed mission with Jesus as you go through life. So as we set the stage for our text this morning in Matthew 28, the 11 disciples are in Galilee, to the place that Jesus tells them to go. They're on this mountain, this place, and Jesus has made several appearances and to people after his resurrection. And yet, as we look at mountains, we might gloss over that momentarily. But yet mountains are incredibly important in Matthew's gospel. And here Matthew is specific to mention that they are on this mountain. Mountains are connected 16 times to divine word from the Lord in the gospels. For example, you have the temptation in the desert. There is the Sermon on the Mount. After the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus goes to be alone to pray with his Father. There is the transfiguration of the Lord. And then the ultimate mountain text, any ideas? Well, Golgotha, the cross, where Jesus dies for us. Matthew is clear. Jesus is with his disciples on a mountain here in this place. And here on this mountain, God is giving them, in a sense, a new revelation, a new word. It is a sending word, a calling word. He assures. He sends them to go from one mountain to another. Jesus is inviting us as well to renew our commitment and what it means to make disciples. And so first of all, we see in our text, Jesus, we can be assured. You know, God gave Jesus the authority over heaven and earth, over everything, exousia in the Greek language, which means having existence or having our being. It's what Jesus says in verse 18, let's join together. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And out of this authority, he calls us to make disciples. Jesus is saying at the heart of it, this is your being. This is your existence. What you are to be about. Live, eat, breathe. But yet, how do we do it? How do we make those disciples? Like the Lego kit with out instructions. What are the instructions for making a disciple? What does the disciple look like? Well, Jesus goes on to tell us, if we had a question about what it looked like to make a disciple, it's by baptizing and by teaching. You know, baptism is how we enter into a relationship with Jesus. It connects us to Christ and His Word, and that Word which grows us and challenges us in our walk with the Lord. And as He invites you to be a part of who He is, He places His name on you through the waters of baptism. We are marked with the name of the Lord, marked with Jesus. It says to whom we belong, that we belong to Christ, that He is our Lord and Savior. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, these challenging words about this great commission in a lot of ways, he says, we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. That's a powerful word, isn't it? That God uses us as kind of the voice piece for this incredible gospel. To be assured, to take comfort that Jesus is with you. Jesus has the authority. You have the call to climb down the tree to make disciples. And secondly, to keep going. Discipleship involves movement. It involves just as you go through life. Literally, the text reads, as you go. As you are going through life, we make disciples. As it says in verse 19, let's read this verse together. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And what's interesting, the only imperative, kind of the command word in this section is make disciples. The rest describe how it is done. In fact, in the Greek language, go and baptize and teach could be considered participles. They are those ing words. It's kind of like a lifestyle kind of thing. Going and baptizing and teaching really describe put flesh on what it means to make disciples. Well, just a couple days ago, I officiated a funeral at the church that I just came from. They're kind of in between pastors, so I said through the elders' approval and everything here that it was okay to do that. And so the gentleman's name was Carl. He had been a part of that church for many, many years. He wasn't a founding member, but pretty close. The church, we just celebrated our 50th anniversary not long ago. And one of the things, the images that came to mind, I thought so appropriate for today, is Carl loved oxen. He had oxen at his farm, at his home. And I don't know if you've ever been around oxen, but they are huge. They're really big. They're intimidating. If you ever stand by one, it's like they could squish you as one little step. But they could be considered gentle giants. They might be big, but they're incredibly gentle and docile. And so, in the agricultural world of the Bible, you rarely saw an ox plow a field alone. If you wanted to break hard ground, you know what you did? You yoked two oxen together, but not just any two oxen. The secret to a successful harvest wasn't putting any two oxen together, it was pairing that made all the difference in the world. And so the farmers would take a seasoned ox, a veteran ox, that was scarred and knew exactly how to keep a straight line, how to move forward. And they would take that seasoned ox and yoke it to a young ox, one full of energy but with no direction. We all know people like that, right? And so this young ox would try to run. It would try to bolt. It didn't like to have a yoke placed upon it. It tried to turn away when the ground got a little rocky and tough and hard. But yet that seasoned ox that knew the way wouldn't budge. Its massive weight and years of experience kept that young one on the path and going down that straight line. The young ox didn't just do the work. It learned how to be an ox by being tied to the veteran. Do you catch that? It learned how to pull. It learned how to lean into the yoke that was placed upon him. It learned what it meant to follow a straight line. It learned what it meant to plow a field. That young ox didn't feel the full weight of the plow because the older partner leaned into the heavy side of the yoke, taking the brunt of the weight himself. And this is exactly what we see the picture described of what it means to be a disciple today. Jesus is that seasoned ox, scarred from years of fighting the good fight. As he leans into the yoke for us, as he leans into the cross for us, as he feels the whips, he feels he braces against the spit of people spewing upon him. He pushes his body against the nails in his hands on the crossbeams. He takes the brunt of each blow, all for you. Making disciples isn't about our heavy lifting and what we do underneath the yoke. Making disciples is about walking with Jesus, a path that he has set before us, that he's already plowed, he has paved the way, and he's inviting you to walk beside him in this journey called discipleship, a path that leads to a cross and to a tomb, a path of God's love, a path of God's mercy and life itself. And when Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light," he is not saying that this life will be easy all the time. He's not saying that we won't have challenges from time to time or that we won't face pain or sorrow or lament in this world. But what Jesus is saying is he is that seasoned ox who is paired with us, walking beside you every step of the way. So keep going. Keep pressing on. Keep baptizing. Keep teaching. Keep following as we point people to Jesus. And lastly, remember. Remember who you are yoked to. That we are yoked to Jesus. That we can find the strength to stay on that narrow road. Because you never pull the weight alone. That Jesus is the one doing all the heavy lifting as we walk with him. As Matthew 28:20 reminds us, let's read it together. "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I am with you always. The risen Jesus assures us and reminds us, and he sends us. He has the authority, remember? God has given him this authority which he gives to us to go, to make disciples. In that authority, he tells us in our text to go. And here in verse 20, Jesus says, "I am with you always." With these words, his name is embedded in the center of a promise. Ego eimi in the Greek language is "I am," pointing to those Old Testament words for a name, one of the names of God, the great I am. And what's fascinating about this particular kind of text in this section in verse 20 where it says, "I am with you always," the text literally reads, "I with you am." always. And think of it this way. We are sandwiched into the presence of God. Like two pieces of bread, you know, God on the outside, and we are the peanut butter and jelly on the inside. We are the meat or whatever your particular favorite kind of sandwich is. We are sandwiched between the presence of God, kind of bookends as you go. I with you am. When life is tough, I with you am. As you kind of bump heads with your boss or with a coworker, I with you am. Maybe as you're weeping over your child who may be drifting from the faith or church altogether, I with you am. As you lay in a hospital bed, maybe wondering if you're going to be breathing your last soon, family all around, I with you am. Because at the end of the day, there will always be a tree in your path. And the good news is Jesus knows how to climb trees. In fact, he climbed a tree for you once. When he died on the cross, the tree of the cross for you and me and all creation. Martin Luther says it this way. He says, "The true living faith which the Holy Spirit instills into the heart simply cannot be idle." And so what is that faith doing within us? The challenge with our text today is to make disciples. The truth at the end of the day is we don't have to stay hid in our trees anymore. He invites you to walk beside him, to lean into the ego a me, the I with you am, as he's making all things new, including you. I with you am. Goes with you as he leads you down your tree to Jesus' tree and into the world needing its hope and life. Are you ready? On your mark, get set, go. Father, we come before you, and we thank you for this opportunity you placed before us, this huge challenge to make disciples. And we don't have all the answers, and we don't always know the best way to accomplish that or the words to say or how to do it at times. But yet, through this challenge in Matthew 28, we're challenged to go. As we go through life, you are with us. I with you am. As you lead us by your side and challenge us to point people to you, to allow you to be the one who does all the heavy lifting. But Father, urge us and challenge us to renew our commitment to mission, to make disciples in the places you have called us and placed us, in our families, in our homes, in our churches, in our communities, in the places we work, in the places we shop. Challenge us to be light in this dark world. In your name, we pray. Amen.